Hey guys, Ryan Nelson here, and there is a flash flood warning outside. It's pouring rain, a lot of thunder, lightning, storm sound effects going on. I was dropping something off at the mail post office, and boom, phone rings, my brother's phone rings, we're freaking out, immediate storm, and it was terrifying driving home. But you know what they say, the itsy bitsy spider went up the water spout, down came the rain, and washed the spider out. That is my segue to the movie I'm going to be talking about today, Spider-Man Homecoming. Starring Tom Holland, Robert Downey Jr., Jon Favreau, and Michael Keaton. Wow, the new MCU movie. What a movie. I'm going to talk about the old Spider-Man movies really briefly. Then I'm going to give like a brief review of the movie, no spoilers. And then for the rest of the movie, the rest of the video, recording podcast, it will be spoiler heavy. And I will give you a spoiler alert. So let's get into it. So, Spider-Man Homecoming. We had the appearance of Tom Holland in Civil War, and some people were already saying he might be the best Spider-Man yet. And he was only in the movie for like 20 minutes. But when he came on screen with Robert Downey Jr., they had that back and forth that was amazing. And they just have the same type of energy. I believed he was Peter Parker. He was a really cool, young Peter Parker. Because in the other two iterations of Spider-Man, Sam Raimi and the one with Andrew Garfield, directed by Mark Webb, they're old. Tobey Maguire was old in those movies. People say he had a baby face in the first one. No, he's old. He was 28 when they were in that first one. He was 31 in the second one and like 35 in the other one. But he looked like he was 70. The dude is so old in those movies. I did not believe he was in high school. I actually like didn't put that together when I was younger. I thought he was in college. And then I realized, oh, there's no lockers in college. Okay? But I didn't think he was the best choice. However, I did love his performance in those movies, and I thought he was really good, aside for the third one. But you see, he graduates in the first movie in Tobey Maguire, and same with Andrew Garfield. He graduates high school, so he's out of high school in those movies. And in the first one, he's in the job taking pictures of Spider-Man. We don't get that in this movie. This movie went in a lot of different directions, and that's what I really liked about Homecoming the most, because they changed a lot of things. If you're really like one of those comic book lovers and you want it to be exactly like the comic books, change nothing, you're probably not going to like this movie. I love this movie because of the risks they took with some changes, and I think they really paid off. First and foremost, you know, we don't get to see Uncle Ben dead on a sidewalk again. I've seen that too many times. We've seen Uncle Ben get shot right in the chest and just bleed out on the fucking sidewalk. We've seen that way too many times, and I didn't need to see that again. So I'm happy there's no flashback to when he gets bit by a spider, Uncle Ben gets shot, and then he like wrestles a little bit. We already saw that. We're good. And I'm really happy they don't retread this whole like, oh, Mary Jane thing, even though she does kind of... she just pop up a little bit, sort of. It's not Mary Jane, but there was none of that in this movie. It was really different. It was a Spider-Man we have not seen before, and by far the best part of the movie is the villain. The villain's a really good villain, and that's what makes this movie great. I think Spider-Man and Batman are the two superheroes that I think have the best comic book written villains. Like, Batman's got so many, and Spider-Man's got loads, and I think they can do a lot with the Spider-Man villains in the future, like Sinister Six, so on and so forth. But for right now, we had Vulture. Michael Keaton, the trifecta of Batman, Birdman, and Vulture. Flying characters are his jam. I thought he was great in this movie. I totally bought what he was doing. I understood why he was bad. He wasn't a mustache-twirling villain just being evil because he wanted to be evil. I understood what he was doing. I understood what he wanted. He was a great, really well-written character. And that just raises this movie up a notch, because when you have a great villain, you care more about your hero inherently. And since he's Spider-Man, we automatically like him. And Tom Holland's a really likable character. Another thing this movie does differently, instead of the one other person in his life being like a girl who knows he's Spider-Man, they actually make it his best friend. I forget his name. His name's like Ned in the movie. I forget the actor's name, but he is hilarious. He's probably the funniest part of this movie. He's the man in the chair, quote unquote. And he just brings a lot of joy. It's like if your best friend was Spider-Man, he asks all the questions you would ask Spider-Man. How far his web shoots? That sounded gross. How he would web sling if he was in the suburbs? If he can summon spiders? Really funny questions like that. And I think this movie achieves a John Hughes feel that we kind of got from the trailers. It totally achieves that. And there's even a reference to Ferris Bueller's Day Off in the movie that I thought was kind of heavy-handed, but whatever. Great, 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 great representation of Peter Parker. Again, with Tobey Maguire and Andrew Garfield, I didn't like their Peter Parkers. Tobey Maguire's, he was nerdy, and that was kind of, I believe that. However, he was out of high school after one movie, so we didn't really get to see him getting, you know, bullied and kind of shoved around and that high school feel that we want from Peter Parker. While Andrew Garfield was way too cool. Way too cool. Dude's skateboarding, he's playing basketball with his powers. It just, I didn't buy it. And, you know, one thing they did in Tobey Maguire Spider-Man, when he's getting bullied by Flash Gordon, there's that slow-mo action fight scene where he has his spider senses. Really like that. But it just, it's kind of an awkward scene because, like, I don't know if that type of fighting happens in a high school that for smart people in New York. And in this movie, they changed Flash Gordon. He's the kid who played the lobby boy in Grand Budapest Hotel. Don't know his name, but they make him, the way he hazes Peter Parker was a lot more like 2017. Not to say there's no bullying in 2017. There is. Just the way that it would happen, like Flash Gordon is in the academic decathlon with Peter and he's kind of jealous of him, and so that's kind of their relationship there. The writing for almost every character in this movie was brilliant. I loved all the dynamics that were going on in Peter's life, and one thing that the other movies, Sam Raimi and Mark Webb Spider-Man, did not achieve is Spider-Man, Peter Parker are as entertaining as each other. I was as entertained watching Peter Parker's everyday life as I was watching him in the Spider-Man outfit, because there's so many moments in the Andrew Garfield one where you're just waiting for him to put on his suit. I don't care about his everyday life in those movies. I don't really care about his everyday life in the Tobey Maguire ones either. You're just waiting until he puts on that suit again, and that's where it was cool. I still think the best scene from any Spider-Man movie is in Spider-Man 2 with the train sequence, obviously, where Doc Ock rips off the steering wheel or whatever, and he's like, you got a train to catch, and then he has to kind of, he gets in front of the train, his mask is off, and he's using his brute strength to stop the train from crashing. It's an incredible scene, one of the best comic book movie scenes ever, and so many comic book movies have, like, stolen and borrowed from it since then, with, like, Captain America holding onto the helicopter in Civil War, and Iron Man in Avengers, like, kind of pushing the wheel of, like, that flying aircraft carrier. So many movies have copied it since, and this movie, there are two moments where they definitely were trying to achieve that moment from Spider-Man 2 again, and I don't think it quite gets there, but you can see they tried. I think that the big thing with this movie is the characters are great, and it's really funny and a lot of fun. Maybe the funniest MCU movie since Guardians of the Galaxy. Maybe it's the funniest MCU movie to date, because there's so many Marvel movies where they have a lot of jokes. However, the villain's trying to destroy the world, and the humor doesn't fit entirely well. It fits, but not really well. Whereas this movie, there's no world at stake. There's some low-level villains and crime thugs. So when he's making jokes, it fits really well. And I thought the high school dynamic and just scenery added to that. He's a sophomore in this movie. He looks like he's in high school. He doesn't look like he's 70 like Tobey Maguire. He looks like he's in high school. I believe he's in high school, and they really achieve the high school element well. And this movie's just really well made. It's really well written. Everything about it, it scores. Now, I'm going to get into some spoilers now. So we're going to talk about the plot details. If you haven't seen the movie, probably stop listening right now. All right. Who would have thought that the best scene in a Spider-Man movie would be a car ride to prom? When he opened that door to get Liz and Michael Keaton answered the door, oh my god, my theater lost its shit. It was shocking. Wow, what a cool moment. Did not see it coming, totally shocked me, and that's like the moment I love being in a movie theater for. Hearing everyone around you equally shocked, and then, you know, you just don't know what's going to happen next. Quentin Tarantino is great at that. That this scene was one of the best scenes in a comic book movie I've ever seen. Just him slowly figuring out, oh my god, this guy in the backseat of my car taking my daughter to homecoming is Spider-Man. What an incredible scene. Really entertaining. Super well written. Wow. Phenomenal scene. If I had a few more things, the thing with Miles Morales. If you didn't catch, Donald Glover is in this movie for a few scenes, and there's one scene where he talks about his nephew living in Queens. I think that was a little bit of a Miles Morales reference. Also, I think Tony Stark's in this movie for the perfect amount of time. He is a father figure. I think also, since he's only in it for like three scenes, they advance his character so well. I loved what they did at the very end with the press conference where, you know, he has to choose whether he wants to be in the Avengers or not, and he thinks it's a test, so he says no. And then it wasn't a test. He was actually going to introduce him as the Avengers. And he proposes to Pepper. Pepper! Pepper hasn't been in any of the movies recently. She pops in. Loved that. The humor with Happy being like, I've been carrying this since 2008. Hilarious. Loved it. What's another great moment? Oh, Michael Keaton accidentally killing the guy. I thought was a cool. Like, it doesn't show he's just like a crazy lunatic killing people. He accidentally killed the guy. He thought it was a gravity lift. That was a funny scene. Another great scene. The whole thing at the Washington Monument was really entertaining. Again, nothing more impressive than other Spider-Man action sequences, but still really cool. I think one of the big issues I have with this movie was his suit. Not the look of the suit. I don't really give a shit what the suit looks like. It was cool that he had a computer, Karen, voiced by Jennifer Connelly, who's actually the wife of Paul Bettany, who voices Vision and Jarvis. Fun fact. But I thought it was really weird that he had so many abilities. His suit had all those abilities. I thought that was kind of unrealistic. I know it's a superhero movie and it doesn't have to be realistic, but like, there's a level of ability with the Iron Man suit where you're like, yeah, he probably has a few shoulder rockets and he can probably fit that all in there if he's like the smartest guy on earth and can, you know, he can engineer all that. I kind of buy it. He's built so many of those suits, you don't know which one he's in. They might have different abilities. But for him to have all that in like a cloth suit, I don't know. Like, I love the whole, he puts it on, hits a button and it gets skin tight. But like, the fact that it has all that electric ability and he can like tase people and there's like 500 web shooter combinations, that, yeah, I don't know. That felt a little silly for me, just for me. I don't think we needed all that. I think it could have been really standard Spider-Man stuff, and maybe with like an advanced suit, he gets that. But it just kind of felt weird. It was funny there was a child lock, but I don't know if his suit should have had all those abilities on it. I also think the music wasn't as good as it could have been. I love the opening crawl with the Marvel insignia and all the comic books flickering around, and it was the Spider-Man da-na-na-na-na-na. That was great. However, the music throughout the rest, like Michael Giacchino's score, wasn't that awesome. I thought they could have pulled little bits from the Sam Raimi score or maybe even had that opening crawl music in it throughout. But no, it was kind of standard. It felt like a really standard movie score with nothing special about it at all. But I mean, in the end, these are kind of little things. The movie is not perfect, but it's so much fun. And one, I'm going to rewatch loads and loads of times. Again, just a little more little hints at things. I think they're setting up the scorpion at the end there when Michael Keaton's in jail. One more issue I had with it. I know I'm jumping all over the place. One more issue I had with the final fight scene when they're flying in the air. I thought that was great. They're high stakes. Either of them could have died. But when they brought it back to the ground and they're on that beach fighting, I thought that was not as high stakes as when they were in the sky. I think it should have been the other way around. I think they should have been fighting on the ground and then got on the plane and fought in the air. I think that would have been a great change there. But I love how his friend was the man in the chair at the end. Everything with Liz and Michael Keaton that happened in the end, really cool, really entertaining. And they're also advancing the Avengers storyline with them moving to a new base. And everything with Robert Downey Jr.'s character, Tony Stark, was just really awesome as well. So this is just a great Marvel movie. They hit it out of the park once again. I give this movie a 9 out of 10. It's so much fun. I can't wait to see more Spider-Man movies with him in high school. Really, really great movie. Please, guys, comment below on the YouTube video and on the iTunes feed. I really need some likes, some comments, some ratings. 5 stars if you want, or 4, or whatever the fuck you want to give me. Just please rate it. I would really love that. Please, you know, subscribe, tell your friends, share. What did you guys think of this Spider-Man movie? What did you think? Please comment below. What do you think the Marvel Cinematic Universe moving forward? There's a lot of my friends who were not a fan of comic book movies just because they thought they were the same over and over again. But lately, they've been really getting into it with, like, Guardians of the Galaxy 2 and Logan and Wonder Woman and this movie. They're really different. They're kind of branching out, trying not to retread old plot lines. So do you think that's true? Please comment below, give me your thoughts. I'm Ryan Nilsson. Thanks for listening.